Well, welcome here, everybody, to our Celebration Sunday service, having both congregations, our 9 a.m. congregation and our 10:45 together in one service. Exciting, exciting, exciting. We'll do this again on at Christmas time at the beginning of December, and we're excited that you're here. Today's message is titled Thanksgiving. It's a matter of perspective. It's a matter of perspective. Now, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I like to think about, where did this come from? Where did that come from? And so, have you ever wondered where the origins of Thanksgiving in Canada came from? Well, you see, traditions of giving thanks long predated the arrival of the European settlers in North America. First Nations across the Turtle Island have traditions of thanksgiving for surviving winter and for receiving crops and game as a reward for their work. These traditions included feasting and prayer and dance and potlatch, which is also an act of gift giving, if you would, and other ceremonies depending on the peoples giving thanks. The first Thanksgiving celebrated by European settlers in Canada can be traced back to 1578, and that is to the English explorer Martin Frobisher. He had been trying to find a northern passage from England to the Pacific Ocean, and he had held a Thanksgiving celebration not for the harvest, but to give thanks for surviving the long journey through storms and icebergs. On his third and final voyage to the far north, Frobisher held a formal ceremony in what is now referred to as Frobisher Bay of Baffin Island in the territory of Nunavut to give thanks to God. The service was officiated by the preacher Robert Wolfall as they celebrated with communion. But then it was 48 years later, on November 14th, 1606, inhabitants of New France under Samuel de Champlain held a huge feast of Thanksgiving between local Mi'kmaq and the French. Though not known at the time by the settlers, but the cranberries that they had part of this feast were actually rich in vitamin C, and are accredited to fighting off or helping avoid scurvy. It is believed that the neighboring Mi'kmaq likely introduced the French settlers to cranberries, or as they called them, petite pomme rouge, little red apples. Now, Champlain's feasts were more than an annual affair. To prevent the scurvy epidemic that had decimated the settlement in Ile-Sainte-Croix in past winters, the Order of Good Cheer was founded, offering festive meals every few weeks. Medical treaties recommended better nutrition, which meant more food and entertainment to combat scurvy. Now, despite the history of Canada's unique Thanksgivings, our modern concept of Thanksgiving has been largely influenced by our American neighbors, which began with the Pilgrims of the Plymouth Plantation in Massachusetts in 1621. This was a celebration of thankfulness for a successful crop or a successful harvest. And food that was associated with the traditional Thanksgiving, such as the North American turkey and squash and pumpkin, were introduced to the citizens of Halifax in the 1750s by the United Empire Loyalists who fled from the United States during the American Revolution and settled in Canada. Today, that tradition carries on. And it was on January 31st, 1957, Canadian Parliament declared Thanksgiving be celebrated on the second Monday of October every year. In the words of Paul Harvey, now you know the rest of the story. Got a lot of Paul Harvey fans in here. This weekend, as we celebrate Thanksgiving, let us put aside the busyness of our schedules, slow down our frantic pace, lay our worries and stress aside, and with an attitude of gratitude, even if we got to reach down deep to find things that to be thankful for, let us give thanks to God for all he's done. Paul, a first century follower of Jesus, writes this in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 to 20. He says, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord." Verse 20, "Always giving thanks to God for the God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, he puts a strong emphasis on praise and thanksgiving. And then he writes in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18, he says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, notice he uses such words as always and continually and in all circumstances. Now, Paul is giving these instructions to first century followers of Jesus. Interestingly enough, though, they were facing great persecution. They were being arrested and tortured and put to death just for being a follower of Jesus. Seems a little odd for Paul to instruct them at a time such as this to give praise and thanksgiving always continually and in all circumstances. These words of Paul echo down through the centuries and still ring true for us today. No matter what comes our way, disappointment, discouragement, pain, agony, or discomfort, even when we face situations that seem helpless or that beat us up or wear us down and cause us to doubt, we're to give praise and thanksgiving always, continually, and in all circumstances. But how do we do this? How is it possible? How can we possibly maintain an attitude of gratitude, giving thanks in all circumstances? I believe the answer lies in having a proper perspective of what thanksgiving really is. It's kind of like a young girl who writes home from college one day, and she says, "Dear Mom and Dad, sorry I haven't written sooner, but believe it or not, my arm is really broken. And actually, my left leg is too. When I jumped out from my second story of my dormitory when it caught fire, it's a miracle that I'm alive. Luckily for me, a cute boy working at a gas station nearby saw the blaze and called the fire department. They were there in minutes, and I was hospitalized for a few days. Joey, the cute boy from the gas station, has come to visit me every day while I was in the hospital. And because the dormitory is still under renovations, I decided to move in with Joey. Did I mention how cute he was? He's so nice, and he reminds me a lot of you, Dad. Anyways, I hate to tell you this way, but I'm pregnant and carrying your Duran child. Joey and I plan to get married just as soon as his divorce goes through. And I hope that things are fine at home. I'm doing fine, and I will write when I get. I'll write more when I get a chance. Love and hugs, your daughter forever. P.S. None of the above is true, but I did get a C in sociology and flunked chemistry. I just wanted you to receive the news in proper perspective." Don't you dare, Peyton. Wait a second. Do you live on the second floor? Oh. Wow, this is just too close to home. This is too personal. There's no Joey's at the... Anyway, we're moving on here. We're all... That ship has sailed. Anyways, being thankful in all circumstances means having a proper perspective of our circumstances. A proper perspective of who God is and his relentless love for us. But there are things that can cause us to miss out on the blessing of thanksgiving. And here are three attitudes, different attitudes that can steal our gratitude. Number one, a prideful heart. A prideful heart. A prideful heart is I-centered. I've worked hard for everything I have, and I deserve everything I have. I'm a self-made person. No one else is looking out for me, so I might as well be my own main concern. This kind of attitude thanks no one else but themselves. Number two, a critical spirit. Instead of being grateful, this person always find something to complain about. Maybe you're sitting beside that person today. Who knows? Just don't nudge or wink or whatever. No matter how many positives come into this individual's life, they still always tend to find or gravitate to the negatives. And then number three, there's the careless attitude, When we take things for granted, we get careless. Our attitude is, it'll never happen to me. Well, that kind of reminds me of an accident that we came across while traveling to Lloydminster years ago. A guy in his early 20s had lost control of his vehicle. He had been driving, and he actually had flipped it into the meridian between the divided highway. And when we pulled up, I mean, the guy's bleeding from his head, and we could tell he's in shock, but he's still kind of fairly coherent, and that I could smell alcohol on his breath. And the story went something like this. He was on his way to hook up with a girl in another community, and instead of using his own vehicle, he chose to use the company truck. And to top it all off, it was when he was texting that the truck, he lost control of the truck and flipped it over into the ditch. This is the story he told the police officer when the police officer came on the scene. But I'll tell you, nothing's worse than to have to try to explain to your boss the next day why the company truck is wrecked. See, a careless attitude. See, a prideful heart, a critical spirit, and a careless attitude can steal our gratitude. In the True North, Strong and Free, it's easy to take things for granted, is it not? We usually don't know how good we've got it until it's gone, right? For example, many may complain about their jobs, but take away their job and replace it with unemployment. Then all of a sudden, we start beginning to think, well, hey, maybe that job wasn't so bad after all. Or maybe you complain about menial tasks or chores or duties you do around the house, whether it be mowing the lawn or taking out the garbage, cleaning your room, doing the dishes, doing the laundry, patching walls, maybe even shoveling out your driveway this weekend. Regardless of what it is, take the ability or the mobility to do any of those tasks, and it's a whole different story. When we really break it down, we have so much to be thankful for. Compared to those who live in impoverished countries, we really don't have much to complain about. So don't let a prideful heart, a critical spirit, or a careless attitude rob you from the many good things that God has blessed you with. Joseph Rudyard Kipling was an English short story writer, poet, and novelist. One of his novels became a popular Disney movie. Maybe you heard of it, but this should jog your memory. Look for the bare necessities, simple bare necessities. Forget about your worries and your strife. I mean the bare necessities, old Mother Nature's recipes that bring the bare necessities of life. That's right, the Jungle Book. Well, a newspaper reporter came up to Kipling and said, I've heard that somebody calculated that the money that you make from your writings amounts to over $100 a word. Kipling raised his eyebrows and said, really? I certainly wasn't aware of that. The reporter cynically reached down into his pocket and pulled out a $100 bill and gave it to Kipling and said, now how about giving me one of those $100 words? Kipling looked at the $100 bill for a moment, folded it up, put it in his pocket, and said, thanks. But think about that for a moment. How's that for a $100 word? Some days I think that word could be $1 million word, or even a word of no capacity of money beyond. It could be priceless. An attitude of thanksgiving may not change your situation, but it will change you and your outlook on any situation. Thanksgiving, it's a matter of perspective. With our time remaining, I want to plant a couple of thoughts in your mind this Thanksgiving. And number one is Thanksgiving involves expression. Thanksgiving involves expression. In Luke chapter 17, 10 men were healed of leprosy by Jesus. Now, for those that maybe not know what leprosy is, today it's more known as Hansen's disease, and it's a chronic infectious disease caused by the Mycobacterium leprae. The disease mainly affects the skin and the peripheral nerves and the mucosal surface of the upper respiratory tracts and the eyes. The nerve damage caused by leprosy may result in the lack of ability to feel pain, which lead to the loss of parts of a person's extremities from repeated injury or infections due to unnoticed wounds. Because people back in Jesus' day didn't fully understand leprosy, what they would do is they would exile people or lepers, declare them unclean, and they would have to go and find housing and find shelter somewhere else. Imagine how lonely that life would be, not only being separated from people, but with unable to have the capacity to even feel. So instead, to be healed from leprosy was a big deal. And it's interesting to me that only one of these 10 guys that were healed of leprosy actually came back and expressed their thanks to Jesus. Now let's pick up the story in Luke chapter 17, verses 15 to 19. This is what it says. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Now, if you've got your Bible here today and you're kind of following along, I want you to underline that. I want you to underline that. And he was a Samaritan. Now, I'll point out the significance shortly. And then verse 17, Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. Now, two quick things to note here. As I said before, underline that he was a Samaritan. This man was a Samaritan. And Jews and Samaritans back then, still like today, don't like each other. Jews consider Samaritans to be lower. Jews are more elite. They have this elite mindset that Samaritans are nothing but the scum of the earth. And for Jews, they did not even associate themselves with the Samaritans, but yet it was a Samaritan that came back to thank Jesus and worship at his feet. For you see, Jesus, while he walked the earth, was of Jewish descent. We don't know for sure the racial background of the other men, but in this passage, the author wanted to highlight the fact that this man was indeed a Samaritan. Healing was available to all those men who called upon Jesus. There was no set criteria. They didn't have to go to church or take up membership or be baptized or partake in communion or promise to live a righteous life. There was no strings attached, no conditions applied to them being healed. But yet it was this one man's desperation in a difficult situation that led him to Jesus. And number two I want to point out in this is that he was made whole. See, he wasn't just healed physically. He was healed mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Because he went back and gave thanks, he received a spiritual blessing. See, many people get so excited or so focused on the external, on the physical manifestation of the miracle that they forget about the inward transformation that makes an eternal difference. You can be healed physically and not experience any transitional or transformational change, but this leper did because he came back, because he acknowledged where his healing came from, because he acknowledged the God who healed him, the Savior that healed him. I like the wording in the Passion Translation in Luke chapter 17, verse 19. It says this, then Jesus said to the healed man lying at his feet, arise and go. It was your faith that brought you salvation and healing. Salvation and healing. You see, this man's body was rescued from his disease, but his spirit was set free from the power of sin and death. Now, when illness or disease strikes again, there's a confirmation deep within us that God is indeed in control. Why? Because our assurance is in Jesus, not the physical state of our bodies or our health. We are to give thanks because our bodies are made whole by Jesus Christ. Psychologists today tell us that sincere gratitude, thanksgiving, is the healthiest of all human emotions. Hence, Hans Selye, who is considered the father of stress studies, said that gratitude produces more positive emotional energy than any other attitude in life. See, thanksgiving involves expression. The second thought I want to plant with you today is that thanksgiving conquers all. It's easy to be thankful when we're feeling blessed and highly favored because everything seems to be going our way. But what about those times when it's not? times when it's tough slugging, times when it feels like you've had the wind completely knocked out of you, times when you're thinking, really? I gotta go through this all over again? All over again. I don't think I've got the strength to go through this all over again. Or times when you're just down at the bottom of your pit. But I tell you, each one of us here in this room, we have our own stories. We have our own stories, stories of triumph, stories of tragedy, stories of the next chapter that has already begun in our lives, and stories where the chapter isn't quite finished yet, stories of pain and agony, and stories of joy and celebration. Now, these things that Paul talks about in Ephesians and in Thessalonians, give praise and thanksgiving always, continually, and in all circumstances, can sound pretty empty if it comes from someone who's never encountered suffering, disappointment, discouragement, or doubt. Because I'm not going to lie here. These things that Paul is telling us to do is too tall of an order. It's too much to ask. Does Paul really fully understand what I'm going through right here, right now? Does he understand the complexity of my situation? Because I'm really hurting, and I'm pretty discouraged, and I'm feeling a bit defeated and doubtful right now. How does he have any right to tell me how I should feel or what I should do? How has he got any right to tell me to give praise and thanksgiving always, continually, in all circumstances? But if you were to read Paul's story, if you were to know his biography, and you can find it, it's found in the pages of the Bible, specifically in Acts, you'll find where he comes to Jesus. But if you were to read more about Paul, you'd find that he faced quite a bit after he chose to follow Jesus. See, we get this mindset inside that, well, if I just give my life to Jesus, everything's going to be fine. And then there will be always times of thanksgiving. It'll be great, and it'll be so splendid. But it's not like that. In fact, Paul found that out firsthand. You see, when he chose to follow Jesus, Paul understood the depths of pain and suffering, defeat, discouragement, and disappointment. In fact, if we were to be completely honest, these words that Paul is saying here are quite surprising. You see, he's a guy who suffered a lot. He had been run out of town, beaten up, imprisoned, tortured, betrayed, naked, cold, hungry, shipwrecked, stoned, and even left for dead. All because he chose to follow Jesus. Are you understanding? You're kind of thinking, well, why would the guy even follow Jesus in the first place if his life was going to be this hectic? But then he prays, and then it goes on, and you look further into Paul's life, you dig a little deeper, and you find out that he struggles with something called a thorn in his flesh, and he doesn't go into specific detail of what this thorn actually was, but all we know is that it was a constant irritation. On three different occasions, Paul pleads with God to remove it, and each time God says, no, no. Finally, Paul comes to the resolve and says, okay, God, you're not going to take it away, but I trust you. I trust that if you don't remove it, that you'll use it for your glory. And this is what he writes in 2 Corinthians 12:10. Listen to this. So I'm not defeated by my weakness, but delighted. What? For when I feel my weaknesses and endure mistreatment, when I'm surrounded with troubles on every side and face persecution because of my love for Christ, I am made yet stronger. For my weakness becomes a portal to God's power. This guy, Paul, he's either crazy or delusional. Maybe he's taken too many stones to the head, or he's tapped into something. Something much greater than himself. Listen to what he says in Romans chapter 8, 18. He says, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to use to us later. It's like he had a different perspective on suffering, and that's confirmed in what he says in Philippians chapter 1 verse 12. He says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. Paul gets it. Paul gets it. He understands that he is called to a purpose much larger than himself. God, if you don't remove it, then use it for your glory. Because no matter what happens, I'm going to give praise and thanksgiving always, continually, and in all circumstances. In closing, Henry Frost served for many years as a missionary to China. In his journal, he wrote about a very difficult time in his life. He says, "I had received sad news from home, and deep shadows had covered my soul. I prayed, but the darkness did not vanish. I summoned myself to endure, but the darkness only deepened. Then I went to an inland station and saw on the wall of the mission home these words, 'Try Thanksgiving.' I did, and in a moment, every shadow was gone, never to return." Thanksgiving involves expression, and thanksgiving conquers all. Thanksgiving is a matter of perspective. Thanksgiving is a choice. No matter what comes my way, no matter what I have to face, I'm choosing to give praise and thanksgiving always, continually, and in all circumstances. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that God, as we sang earlier, that you are good. And that you being good is not a reflection of my circumstances or my situation. But you being good is a reflection of the condition of my soul. When I give you praise in the midst of my misery, Father, you are good. You are good, working all things out for your purpose, not mine, for your purpose. And that, Lord God, that I will be able to be used for your purposes, for something good, something that will long outlast me, because God, if you don't remove it, then we pray that you use it. We pray that you use it. Lord, we think today of our situations, our personal situations, or maybe somebody that's close to us. And we think of, God, how are you going to move in this situation? It seems so impossible. I pray today that we would try Thanksgiving. Try Thanksgiving. Those that are walking in discouragement today, try Thanksgiving. Those that are walking in disappointment right now, try Thanksgiving. Some of those that have a weary soul, try Thanksgiving. For all those listening online right now, try Thanksgiving. Try Thanksgiving. Come to the feet of Jesus and offer your praise and your thanksgiving, always, continually, and giving thanks in all circumstances. We thank you for this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.